Cancer and Cancer Rising and Moon, and welcome to In These Times, the 2019 spring reading. My name's Eric, and I'm here with a bit from your very abundantly interesting astrology. Beginning, by the way, at 10:52 a.m. on September 4th, 2019, on kind of a muggy, damp day here in Kingston, New York. At the outset of all these readings, to make sure that everyone gets to hear it, I am sharing one thought by the Rinpoche Kenpo Carther in a book that I've been reading called Bardo, The Interval of Possibility. And this one sentence kind of woke me up. I tend to be spiritually pretty consistent, and it's difficult to influence me, and because I've kind of been influenced, done that. However, every now and then something really influences me, and this one quotation really changed my outlook on things. He says, apropos of our theme, as bad as times are, it's important to understand that the Dharma is not affected or diminished in any way. We do indeed live in an age of decadence, but the Dharma is not decadent. The Dharma is the same as it's always been. There's a couple of contexts of Dharma here. The word means acting as if to hold the world together. It's also, so that's a daily, it's your daily karma to act in this way that supports and sustains the world rather than rips it apart. And much of the problem that we see in the world, and much of the personal struggle that we face involves all of this adharmic action, the like drill baby drill, bomb baby bomb approach to running the world, and you just wonder what the hell is going on in these people's minds. Well, it's adharmic action. It is acting as if to rip the world apart, and our role is to act as if to hold the world together. And that is one sense of the word Dharma, and another sense of the word Dharma is the conveyance of a teaching to do that. And I think this teaching is conveyed mainly by example. Just to read this quotation again, it's important to understand that as bad as times are, the Dharma is not affected or diminished in any way. We do indeed live in an age of decadence, meaning of decay, but the Dharma is not decadent. The Dharma is the same as it's always been. And so, therefore, we keep going. We keep doing the right thing, and we don't worry about who's doing the wrong thing, or we only worry to the extent that we must respond to that thing, and to not let this insane condition that the world is in any way drag us down, or think that the mission that we have is any less relevant. You are living through a time when it seems as if external circumstances have a lot more power than they should. So this is a big theme of all charts oriented on Cancer, whether it's Sun, Moon, Rising, or any question oriented on the sign Cancer, where it comes up in the ascendant, or that's even the house that it rules, relative to the sign Cancer, it would seem as if the thing that you're dealing with is externals coming at you from various directions, and also the external, the big external of your environment. The world in which you inhabit, What you see when you walk down the street or read a newspaper or in any way engage with the world around you, we could call that environmental. And the astrological notation for this involves the positioning of the sign Capricorn in your chart, which is your opposite sign and therefore one of the ones that's the very most influential in your life, because the seventh house is about relationships of all kinds, and it's also particularly, well, partnerships of all kinds, and for good or ill. And additionally, it describes the wider environment. It describes this bandwidth of reality that you see when you survey the world. Imagine you're standing on a street corner and you just look straight ahead. And, you know, you turn your eyes from side to side, turn your head from side to side, and you look around who and what you see, who and what you experience right in that immediate moment is the seventh house. And there is massive activity going on in this house. It's been going on for a long time. It is manifested in other times, mainly as a rise to the occasion type of challenge. And that remains true. The phase of your life that you're now culminating, that is to say that is now reaching its peak and its end game, began when Pluto entered Capricorn in early 2008. There was a bit of a warm-up in late 01 into about 05, and there might be things to learn from that era, though it's getting to be a bit of a while ago. This current era begins in early 2008, and it is the one of being confronted by massive changes in the world and in your life. And this doesn't always mean that you're constantly subjected to them, but it means that you're sensitive to the ways in which society is transforming and then what that means in the most immediate sense of the people around you and their concept of what a relationship is, their concept of commitment, their concept of loyalty, their concept of love. And on one level, all of this is like a movie. And sometimes it can have a way of getting you hyper-involved or dragging you in. But the overall effect is forces beyond your control. Pluto has that feeling to it. And for about the past 2 years, since late 2017, Saturn has been coming through your seventh house, Capricorn. And this has added a new layer of necessity. It's added a new layer of urgency. It has added it's a combination of a boundary setting factor of Saturn and a reconciliation factor of Saturn, which is a form of boundary negotiation, is to rebuild, reconstruct, and reconcile. But it's likely that your life has just had this unusually exciting feeling, and that it just seems that every other time you turn around, there's something going on where you just have to deal with it, rather than being able to say, "Oh, I've made that. I did that." It seems like it's coming from the outside, and this is one of the illusions that the astrology of our moment is asking us to challenge, because the instructions, as far as I can tell, couldn't be clearer, that we have to understand the extent to which the changes that we're living through in our society and in the times that we're alive involve inner shifting and reorganization as much as they involve any externals. And at minimum, the external factors are compelling us to make adjustments inwardly and to really take part in adapting to the changes in the world. And so either way you look at it, whether it is these internal adjustments that are rearranging our lives, or whether we must adapt to what are in fact external changes, it comes out to about the same thing, that we're placed in a position where we have to respond, and respond consciously, and maintain a high level of awareness, so that we maintain minimal control over our lives. And so one of the things you're going through is kind of a mindfulness exercise where you have to be careful never to unwittingly give up influence or authority over yourself, and make a very concerted effort to be the authority in your life. I mean, under one scenario, it's possible to look at the Saturn conjunction to Pluto, which takes place in early 2020, but I think which began when Saturn arrived in Capricorn in late 2017, as being about having no control whatsoever. And if that's true for you, this is another illusion that needs to be considered and looked carefully at and seen for what it is, because you always have the power of choice and the power of decision. And humans, to some small degree, there's always a decision that you can make. And many humans take some kind of strange pleasure or pride or insistence in delegating all the authority over their lives to as many externals as possible. That is just not going to work for you. That is not going to serve you in any way, because the message is so clear that it's time to learn the ways in which you are fully capable of taking charge of your existence. And so for a while, there's going to be this negotiation between what seems to be happening externally and what might be presented to you as some form of an inevitability, and you then have the choice of whether and how to respond. Given that this astrology is reaching its peak right now, the conjunction of Saturn and Pluto is about to start moving toward closure. Currently, as of this recording, both of these elements are retrograde. We're in the last couple of weeks of Saturn retrograde. It stations direct on the 18th, and then the last month or so of Pluto retrograde. As of the time of this recording, it stations direct on 10/3/19. And then there's likely to be a kind of a shift in the environment and the atmosphere, where things that may have been long delayed start to move. And they're moving towards some form of a conclusion. And the idea that Capricorn, the sign opposite of Cancer, is about partnerships and relationships, and that there is this once per generation, meaning three times per century, conjunction happening. Last time it happened was in 82, and it's now about to happen again. 1982 was a long time ago, particularly if you recognize that time is moving in dog years at this point, that we live through 7 years for every year that we live. There is an opportunity here, and there's also a question of what closure you need. Where do you need to bring resolution into your life? What people and narratives do you need to resolve? And it is probable that there are some, and that there are some important situations. And as an essential part of your maturing process, as part of your personal growth and development, there is this opportunity to test the theory that it is actually your life. Now, much of the influence has its roots in your family. And so what I suggest you be looking at is where family constellation patterns match up with the patterns of your current life. I mean, this is a good therapy 101 exercise to notice who reminds you of your siblings, who reminds you of your father, who reminds you of your mother, who reminds you of various surrogate parents and all of that. And the question I've got scribbled on the page among the few notes I've written is, what role do you want to give people? What role do you assign to yourself and to those who are in your world? And implicit in that is the reminder that you are assigning roles to people, that in a sense, you decide who everyone is and what they do. And you may do this very early on in the relationship, and you may continue to do it as a an ongoing experience. But the question is, who are these people? Who do they remind you of? What purpose do they serve? What understanding do you have with them? And to think of this more as a conscious act. See, this is an odd thing, is that the illusion is that everyone just shows up and they have the role that they have. But not only do we have these often pre-assigned slots for people, we're putting people into those slots. It might be who we choose to have as a parental figure, who we delegate parental matters to, certain matters of authority. When there are close partners, the question is, who do they emulate? What story are they a continuation of? What psychological tendencies do we bring to those relationships? And so the big question in terms of your relationships is, first of all, one of closure. But second, the assignment of this before and after moment, right, where your life is going to be, you will have one concept of what your life was before the Saturn-Pluto conjunction and another of what it is after the Saturn-Pluto conjunction, is the way that you actively seek people and assign them roles. And though this may seem annoying at first, the more you're aware of this, the more you get control over this influence, the more you will be able to choose who is in what role and see that there is, in many ways, a total variable about how you handle these scenarios. one of the most, let's say, mighty angles of your chart is what's called the 10th house. The 10th house is about reputation and responsibility. It is usually thought of as the house of career, but it's much more sublime than that because it also talks about the distinction between a career and a vocation, a thing that you kind of get on and take a ride on versus something that you feel called to do, that you feel is a spiritual calling that you are responding to. Most careers are not that way. Most vocations are that way. And you know, we wonder why people have to sit in a room for 12 hours a day and make wax sculptures. And that's because they have a calling to do so. While others might be called to make money or to, you know, participate in some other way. And so the sometimes sublime and sometimes very bold distinction between a career and a vocation is one of the issues of the 10th house. The way that you are psychically oriented, what's been going on in the 10th house for much of your lifetime has been challenging to your sensitivity and your sense of safety. And this is because the definition of a person has been changing in ways that do not comport with your definition of who you are. And this has been about the transit of Eris through Aries in the 10th. By the way, you have Aries located in here. And this is worth mentioning, and it's something that I have never read in an astrology book, and I'd be curious to see if I could find it in my new enhanced collection. But that where we have the sign Aries is where nearly everyone has an emphasis on self-discovery, on the process of personhood, and on the journey of really discovering who you are. And the sign Aries can appear anywhere in a chart. And for you, in according to your solar chart and your natal, if you've got Cancer rising, it appears in this house of career and vocation. And so the kind of karmic reminder is that the work you do is one of the most important ways that you engage the process of discovering who you are. Cancer is often said to be about the home and to be about domestic partnerships and relationships and all that, but the frontier and the real kind of angle of adventure involves your taking up the challenge of worldly accomplishment. And so you seek to find yourself here, and that is a beautiful thing, and it may contradict certain concepts that you have about yourself or that people have about you or that the authors of old astrology books have about you, but there you are. And and it's been rough. Now, it's not that you haven't accomplished things. It's not that you haven't made discoveries, but 7 years of Uranus moving through Aries from about 2011 through 2018, and I think it finally made its final ingress into Taurus earlier in 2019. So there was a one-year transition from the spring of 18 into the spring of 19. This has been disruptive, and it's also been inventive. So there have been all kinds of jolts and shocks and unexpected twists and turns, and you know, you may have gotten fired a couple of times, and you may have gotten hired a couple of times, and you may have raised your, you know, like earning potential in certain ways, and dealt with the kind of roller coaster of gains and losses and all of that. That's not that easy for someone who is as sensitive as you are. However, We are in a new era now, and it is always helpful to make conscious adjustments to the new era when the planets suggest that such has begun. And so the presence long-term, 7-year, ending earlier this year, presence of Uranus in Aries was potentially jolting and left you with the feeling that there really was no stability. And now Chiron has entered Aries. And the ingress of Chiron into Aries, in a sense, reverses the chaotic, largely internet-driven quality of Uranus in Aries. And it is bringing this infusion of Saturnian energy. So Chiron is a lot like Saturn, only it has a more obvious focusing power. And it also opens up a channel of energy in a way similar to the way that Uranus does, because certainly the past 7 years have been energetic and exciting and full of adventurous twists and turns. But that can be a little bit unwieldy. And when you have Chiron, you have the structuring power of Saturn, but also the open energy channel of Uranus. And so this is a stabilizing influence, or it certainly can be a stabilizing influence, as long as you are willing to work out the healing crisis that emerges from time to time as a result of this new presence having this hyper-focusing influence in your life. And with Chiron in the 10th, when we talk about the Dharma, what we're really talking about is your calling to bring your humanity into everything that you do. And it is likely that you are in a role right now where you must bring your humanity into the increasingly robotic state of the digital world. And so it's a little bit of holding your own against this perfectly weird set of circumstances that people are calling progress, where essentially everything is getting run through the mind of a robot, which is not really a mind at all. It's just a processing chip running a script. And you have the challenge and the responsibility and truly the honor of making sure that you are an example and a reminder of your own humanity in the midst of this terribly competitive and increasingly robotic professional world, where there's a lot of people who just seem okay with being digital zombies. And I would propose that you are not okay with being a digital zombie, nor are you okay with living in a world full of people who are convinced that they're digital zombies. And that is to say, then, that your dharma is to express your humanity in the midst of this challenge. There's another related challenge that is more of an internal reality that you might think of as your inner home. And that is related to the way that you frame your reality. And this is an extraordinarily important thing for you right now, because it influences whether you feel safe on the planet. And this is a big deal at this time, because there's actually not very many people who feel safe, and there's quite a few people who are going through bouts of panic and rampant paranoia and needing to have therapists online who they text and who go through the day not feeling safe anywhere. And your challenge of expressing your humanity as the principal element of your dharma is a kind of thing that you can do in the outer world. In other words, you can be at work in whatever role you have, and I think intuitively you understand that your calling is to set the example of being a loving person, a kind, helpful person, a person, no matter what your rank in society is, no matter how powerful you may feel you are, how much money you may have, how many people report to you, or nobody at all, that you're setting the example of humanity is the essence of your dharma, and this is expressible in the outer world. The inner world has a different property right now. The inner world, as I'm reading it for you, is largely described by action of the sign Libra, which is your fourth house. And the fourth house right now, I think, is one of those just crucial places to study in any chart, because there is, first of all, the nature of the fourth is to describe the person's sense of well-being, sense of security, sense of grounding, and most importantly, sense of safety on the planet. And this is almost always a negotiated condition. I mean, there's certain situations where you can be absolutely safe and have no threat whatsoever and be feeling like you are threatened and people are out to get you. And there's other situations, this applies to everyone, where you can really be in some hot water and you know you're okay. And so if it's true that you can be in danger and feel safe and be perfectly safe and feel in danger, to me that says that there's a framing of reality around the concept of safety, that there is a conceptual level to this. And this conceptual level is coming through very strongly in your charts right now. To work with the conceptual level of your sense of safety and belonging and well-being, and to be consciously aware of the negotiation process that you go through in order to basically make up your mind about whether you feel safe or not. And here again, we have an example of the ways in which your humanity can help you, because it's if you're acting in a humane way toward people over whom you might even have some power of some kind, you are also setting a tone for your own inner life. And there's not always an exact match, but it is helpful to set a warm, kind, positive example in terms of how you internalize that and treat yourself in a similar way. But there's something on a much higher level going on, I think, and that is on the level of becoming fully aware of what it takes for you to feel safe and to feel like you belong. Does it take a certain amount of money in the bank? Does it take having a car? Does it take having a full tank of gas in the car? Does it require having a partner? Does it require having work to do, a book to read or a book to write, whatever the case may be? There's a very influential presence in your fourth house, an outer planet called Logos, one of the great concepts in all of Greek philosophy. And the way that I take Logos as a planetary influence is as the conceptual framing of your reality. And this is the conceptual framing of your emotional reality as it relates to whether or not you feel safe and comfortable on the planet. And I know that it's a challenge, it's a stretch for anyone to feel safe and comfortable on the planet right now, because there is so much that would appear to be threatening us. But the Dharma is not decadent. The Dharma doesn't care. And so part of the Dharma for you is to have an agreement with yourself, or to even more boldly map out the properties of a situation where you feel safe, nourished, and taken care of. What does that call for? For some people, it calls for having those who they're in active communication with. For some, it calls for having a sex partner. For some, it calls for having a certain amount of money in the bank. For some, it calls for having armed guards outside at the entrance gate to their estate. And there are plenty of people who have billions of dollars in the bank and feel perfectly paranoid. And so the question is, what does it take for you to have an understanding with yourself that you are safe? And I would, and to feel that way, and I would all but assure you that based on your astrology, this is conceptual. It is based on your idea. Now, we're not obviously talking to people whose homes are being pounded by a hurricane, but even if your home is being pummeled by a hurricane, there's still going to be a negotiation process going on. Do I belong here? Do I feel safe here? Should I stay, you know, huddled in this attic room, or should I leave? That's all a thought process. And so whatever the state of being that you're in, consider the thought process that leads you to the conclusion of whether you feel safe or not. This is an idea in your mind more than it is anything else. And so too are most of the threats. Most of the threats are ideas in our minds and could not affect us if we did not choose to allow them to. There are two main kinds of leadership in our world. One is what you might call formal leadership or structured leadership, the principal of high school, for example, or the president of the United States. Then there is informal leadership, which is leadership on a social level. And that is sometimes called informal because the person in the position of leadership may hold no official title. So someone who's not the director of a fashion house, for example, might not do very much fashion trend setting, but some kid on the streets of Philadelphia who wore two different colored sneakers might start a trend that spreads around the world. And one of the most interesting things about your chart is that you are in both a position of formal leadership and of informal leadership. And I would remind you that this is taking place in this environment of constant shifting and changing, and what may seem like an environment where there is a grand scale abdication of leadership, people just not taking up their responsibilities. And then you're left often being the one who is in the leadership role. Now, it's important to do this gently. All of the influences that we're talking about are, in a sense, things that, particularly where formal leadership is concerned, where you might have a role in your company or in an organization, or you might be placed in charge of something, to take a gentle approach to this, and what I call a leadership from behind role, where you don't have to be the one who is out front. You have to be the one who is in more of a coordinating capacity. So bear that in mind where there are circumstances of being given responsibility for something or having to take responsibility for something. You can do this in the most gentle way, and you can do it in a way that is centered around a certain kind of awareness where you understand what's going on a number of different levels, and you understand the human role. the roles that you have and that other people have. Then there is informal social leadership. And this is powerful in your chart right now. Part of why it's powerful is that Uranus is in Taurus. So this subtle approach to formal leadership is coming from the influence of Chiron in the 10th. The informal leadership is seen through the 11th house, and this is described by Uranus in Taurus. And this is a truly interesting placement in that it has you, in essence, in the role of basically pushing boundaries. This is not your normal role. You can be an assertive person, but to challenge norms and to challenge boundaries is not one of the things that you kind of get up in the morning and think about how you're going to do it. And yet you are doing exactly that. So there's a few different levels of this informal level of social leadership that I'm seeing as described by Uranus in Taurus in the 11th house. And be aware that you might not be aware that you're in this situation, that you're being looked to as some kind of an example for something or as some kind of an innovator. It just might not occur to you that people are seeing you like that, but you may be being perceived like that. So note that possibility. Then there is the gathering of the specific group of people. I think Groucho Marx famously said he wouldn't be part of any organization that would have him as a member. That's kind of a funny Aquarius joke. I don't know if Groucho was an Aquarius. I did his chart recently, and I wonder where we can find that in his chart. But you're in a position now to gather the people around you who will support you and who will be subject to your support. So there's a specific, like an amendment in the social environment where you are working with a subset of even your own circle of friends or people that you've just recently met. So one of the things that we can say about your charts and part of this kind of hot fudge Sunday contrast is that on the one hand, there's mayhem going off in the world right now. I mean, whether we're talking about a Category 5 hurricane parking over the Bahamas for a day and a half, or whether we're talking about complete anarchy in the official halls of power in Washington, D.C., there's this kind of meltdown of reality. And then you're in this role repeatedly. You know, the several different elements of your chart call you to be in this role where in the absence of ethical and moral and even functional leadership, you set the tone. And one of the ways you do this socially among your group of friends is by being the one who is outwardly willing to be different. This is much stronger than you may recognize right now, and it's kind of a new thing for you. I mean, I associate it with the ingress of Uranus into Taurus, and you know, Taurus tends to like things the way they are, and yet is one of the most dependable sources of basically radical intervention. And so you have this in your 11th house. You're the kind of person who likes to keep your friends for a long time. There are certain people born under the sign of Cancer who don't like to make new friends at all, and they like to just have only the people they know in their lives. To whatever extent that may have been true in the past, Uranus is shaking things up and putting you in a position where you are challenging norms and setting an example of what it means to be different, of course, in the refined way that Taurus always presents itself, even when it's under this kind of radical influence of Uranus. However, you're the one who's going to make things happen. You're the one who is going to gather people together for a purpose, whatever that purpose might be. And this is all happening in the context of all of these radical changes that are going on in the world around us. One of the things that distinguishes you, and I think it's going to be helpful in contemplating any of these outer planet transits, such as Pluto being an influence, or Chiron, or Uranus, in this informal leadership angle of the discussion, is that you are somebody with a natural affinity for this supposedly special thing that people call spiritual. Usually the concept of spiritual is like an add-on, like it's a thing missing from life. Oh, I don't have a spiritual part of my life, therefore I'm going to go to a spiritual bookstore and buy a spiritual book and get a special spiritual gong and do this spiritual thing called meditation. Kind of on the level of baking a cake, but of course if you've ever baked a cake, well, that's a real exercise in mindfulness. You, however, are blessed with a natural tie-in. Your portal is open. For you, the thing that people seem to seek as an external comes right through to you. The thing that people seek as a special thing, like, oh, I'm going to go to theology school, or I'm going to be a minister, or I'm going to, take up this Buddhist path, whatever it might be. You're already there, and all you need to do is open up to the incoming energies. So you're a natural possessor of a certain capacity to connect to a much larger idea and a thing that transcends the limits of the human ego, this kind of very tightly spun, insecure concept of what a person is. And you might look at this as the overarching theme of your whole life right now, because the threats are all on the level of this tightly spun reality that's being challenged and threatened. And you're in a position many different ways where you can basically afford to relax and to be flexible and to allow the changes to happen and to count on your ability to be adaptable and on your ability to focus leadership where that's necessary and to count on your ability to gather people where that is necessary, to get the crew that you need to do the thing that you need or that you want to do. I had mentioned somewhere in one of the early letters for this that I would offer one thought of the angle of sexual evolution. Where the current, what I'm calling the sexual healing aspect, appears for you is conjunct Chiron in the 10th house of reputation, 10th house of leadership, more formal leadership, and of reputation. And what this is saying, it's kind of, I've been looking at it for the last 45 minutes, wondering quite how to put this into words. And I'm not even sure I have them yet, but I'm going to start the sentence anyway, is that you are in a teaching capacity. You are in a position to understand what is normal about life and let it be normal, and what is normal about the human condition, and let it be normal. And there has to be a level where the erotic nature of a human being is allowed to be what it is. Now, this can be challenging where there are people who just can't control or seemingly act like they can't control this energy, and they can be of any gender and any sex, though men tend to be the ones getting blamed for this. I think it's only that male conduct tends to be more visible based on various sex roles and also the conditioning for how to conduct oneself. And you're in a leadership and teaching capacity on this particular issue. And this may involve some measure of mediation, and it may involve a level where you have to set the tone for what is appropriate around you. And there's not a lot of people doing this. You have people who are setting various inappropriate tones, whether the tone is being too assertive or aggressive, or whether the tone is being moralistic. And neither of those is going to work. The human race is not going to organize itself around a bunch of rules, but it also can't organize itself around antisocial behavior. And so you're on the line here where you are kind of calling the balls and strikes on what is appropriate and what is not. But I would remind you that you're in contact with the natural underlying level of human consciousness, where there is just this erotic ocean that everyone has in them. And so you're aware of that. And you're also aware that there is a level of appropriateness that is going to work, and that this thing is variable, and that we're talking about a natural force. And so what I suggest you do is that you stay in tune with your feelings, as you often do anyway, and that you remember that your example goes a very long way. And part of your example is your understanding of and then externalizing in some way that there are places and times for everything, and that one of the crucial parts of the example that you set is what the place and time for the certain way of being is. When can you be a little more frisky, a little more randy, and when do you need to, straighten your tie and stand up tall? And we set this aside for a moment. And then what do we do in an environment where almost everyone is really confused? And the thing I suggest that you do in an environment where everyone is really confused is what I think of as the central teaching of your astrology at this point, which is to put your humanity first and to connect to everyone on the level of their humanity and get a feeling for where they're coming from. Get a feeling for what is underneath what's motivating them. Not the apparent motive, but what's underneath that, driving that. And you're likely to fairly quickly tap into a sense of injury and then be in a position to offer some guidance on what to do with that sense of injury. And this needs to be handled carefully. I think that there has to be a realistic perspective, that a sense of one's injury does not grant special rights. It only grants, if we're lucky and we're in a place where people care, consideration, to be considered, to have reality considered. And your role as a leader and teacher is to be the considerate person who is going to make contact with the underlying humanity. And this will work for you in many, many different ways. It's easy for you to remember that we're all just people and that you're a person. But right now, in this age where there are so many conditions basically trying to convert people into being little robots, it means a lot that you are holding out this example of humanity. Don't forget to check out your sign rising if this is not it. And moon sign can also be informative and I will catch you a little bit further down the road. Thanks for tuning in, and bye for now.